This is the SF Productions Podcast Network. How I Got My Wife to Read Comics, Episode 148. Can a comic collector of 20 plus years get his wife to read them? Will she let him keep them? Learn more in this podcast. Let's go to the comic book lounge with Mindy and Mark.
Barry drops in on Clark, who drops in on Karen, while Knight takes Joker, and Tom Taylor has a whale of a tale, plus America's fastest growing new game show. This is How I Got My Wife to Read Comics for Sunday, March 20th, 2011. I'm Mark.
And I'm Mindy. You can go to sfpodcastnetwork.com to get the feed, other SF podcasts and blogs, and you can subscribe via iTunes to leave us a review.
You can email sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com, like us at facebook.com/sfppn, follow us on Twitter at sfppn, or call us at 614-321-9737. That's 614-321-9SFP. And the big contest is still on.
To enter, visit sfpodcastnetwork.com and answer the question of the week on the discussion board. Visit the Facebook page and hit the like button. Follow us on Twitter. Do all three and triple your chances to win.
And what can you win? Well, we have variant cover comics, a trading card box set, DC posters, and the grand prize, the Blackest Night Power Ring Spectrum set. And you can see all the prizes on the website Photo Galleries.
From our good friends at Pack Rat Comics. And now a word from our contest sponsor.
As AnnouncerBot says every week, I've been collecting comics for over 20 years, so I've been through quite a number of comic book dealers. And no one matches the quality and value of Pack Rat Comics in Hilliard, Ohio. Jamie and Teresa have your favorite comics in stock, along with action figures, statues, toys, and all kinds of comic collectibles, along with a huge lower level filled with long boxes of older titles at great prices. If you want a regular pull account, you can't beat Pack Rat's discounts. The more you buy, the greater your savings. Pack Rat is well-organized, clean, and welcoming to new customers. They also hold regular events and community outreach, including a mini-convention for the upcoming Free Comic Book Day. So check them out on the web at packratcomics.com or call 614-527-8450 or just drop by. They're at 3864 Latimer Street in Hilliard, Ohio, open 7 days a week. I trust Pack Rat for my weekly comic book order, and so should you. Back to you, Mindy.
And once again, to enter the contest, visit sfpodcastnetwork.com and answer the question of the week on the discussion board. Visit the Facebook page and hit the like button or follow us on Twitter. Do all three and triple your chances to win.
All right, let's move on to this week's comics. Superman number 709 by Straczynski, Roberson, and Barrows. And I put a little asterisk by Straczynski because I don't think he's actually involved anymore.
That's what I was going to ask. I saw his name was still on the comic, but I thought he was leaving. But is it because it was still his idea?
I think it's his storyline, and maybe the concepts are in there, but I don't think he's no longer involved. The Grounded story continues. I don't know when it will end. I wish it would end soon.
Well, he's in Colorado, so...
Yeah.
I mean, it's obviously much shorter than they were going to make
it,
isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, they definitely cut it down. There's a quick cameo by the new Super Chief. It's like in the first page, which is interesting.
Okay, who is the new Super Chief?
They announced him during one of the crossover events.
Oh, okay.
I don't really remember the deal about him. That's probably the last time you'll see him for the next several years. So Clark is leaving Lois a message on her voicemail, and then suddenly he and everyone else in the area is in Kryptonian costumes, and he's hearing these Kryptonian historical records at super speed, and the costumes and the buildings around him keep changing as the history goes on, and he figures out it's Barry, it's Flash. Barry found a headband in a crater, like came down from space. And he couldn't resist putting it on, which to me is like, as a police scientist slash CSI guy, that seems like a bad idea.
I didn't think that was at all in character for Barry.
No.
Wally, maybe.
Wally
but
would,
not
but not Barry.
Barry.
So it takes him over. The Kryptonian history fills his brain, and he can't take the headband off or stop running. So he manages to track down Clark by just traversing the country, knowing that Clark's walking around the country. And he starts leaving him these clues via the Kryptonian history. So... Clark ends up catching Barry and takes off the headband. And all of this is really just prep for them grabbing lunch and talking, which is really the main part of the storyline.
Well, and hasn't talking been the main part of most of this storyline?
Exactly.
And I don't really mind that too much. I kind of like the talking stuff.
So they're commenting on the Kid Flash / Superboy race that's currently going on over in the Superboy title. And so they see it on a TV set and they comment about it. And then at one point, there's a nice flashback to Clark and Lex back in Smallville High. And Clark is reading a comic book. What's it?
Iron Monroe.
Iron Monroe book. Yeah, that's right. And Iron Monroe is, in fact, a hero back in the 40s. So they also talk about their legacies, about that both of them, they kind of know that
they've seen the future.
They've seen the future, both of them, and they know what's coming to some extent, that they know that they both have this long legacy after the end of their careers. So it is a really nice piece of character work more than anything. I wish they hadn't, frankly, wasted so much time at the beginning with the goofy to get to that point. But
well, then you'd have people complaining that there's not enough action.
Exactly. The other thing is, and I've thought about this before, I would really like to see a Lois Lane, Iris Allen story. I don't think we've hardly ever seen those two together.
Have we seen them on double dates or anything?
Well, exactly. I mean, they're both reporters. They both have superhero husbands.
Well, you would think that as reporters, they could get together without any suspicion of anything.
There's no reason they couldn't get together. And I'm racking my brain. I'm sure there has been at some point. But I don't think I can't think of any time that you've seen Iris Allen and Lois Lane just sit down and talk. It just seems like a no-brainer. We should see something like that.
Okay. Now, you also talked about the Superboy Kid Flash race.
Yes.
Did we talk about that on the
show before? No, we didn't talk about it.
Okay. I'm going to just make a comment.
Yeah.
It wasn't really a race.
No.
They weren't racing. They stopped in the middle and fought crime and talked on the pyramid.
Yes.
That's not a race.
Yes. Well, every time we've ever seen the Superman Flash race in any variant, it's always been, it's not like they just go as fast as they can and they get there. It's they're competing and then something happens and they have to stop. In this case, they chose to stop.
Yeah. They're like, hey, we got a few minutes. Let's have a chit chat.
Otherwise, this is going to take too quickly. It's going too quickly.
It's not a race.
No. Power Girl number 22 by Winnick and Basry. And Clark stops by. Apparently, he's stopping his Grounded storyline long enough to go check on Power Girl.
Well, personally, I think this takes place a bit in the future from what we have had before, because we missed the whole resolution of the Max Lord thing apparently happened before this issue. She says in the issue that, you know, Max Lord was exposed as the person who embezzled the funds from her thing.
Well, but it's still unclear. I mean, he's been exposed to some extent already, but not to the world, I suppose.
Yes. But I mean, this is obviously at some point removed from the previous issue.
It does seem like they've decided they're going to pull her storyline away from the whole the whole thing that's going on with Generation Lost. Clark wants to discuss her plans, where she wants to go more public with her Karen Star identity. And Clark isn't so sure about that because she hasn't had much luck doing this in the past. And he explains that Superman is his secret identity. Clark is who he is, while Power Girl has really been the opposite. You know, Karen Starr has only really ever shown up when they needed the character to do something. Otherwise, she's always been Power Girl. And he thinks it may be too easy for the public to figure this all out, quote, especially with your figure. And they're
a little sexist there, Clark.
They're about to get into that when suddenly they're fighting dinosaurs. All of a sudden, you know how you fight dinosaurs. And they're losing to the dinosaurs. And this is actually kind of a flashback. You see the fight at the very beginning of the issues and they flash back a few minutes and then they're back in the story. And they can't hear each other very well, which is weird because they both have super hearing, so they should be able to hear each other clearly. And both are getting injured. And we learn there's this mystery guy, who we don't know, who's controlling the dinosaurs. I don't think we know him, do we?
I don't know him, but that doesn't mean you don't.
There was no clue to me as to who he was. But he's doing it through Zatanna, who he has tied up. And so apparently Zatanna obviously is not directly doing the magic because she's
not talking.
She's not talking.
She's got a gag on.
So somehow he tricked her into giving him some sort of magic so he could do it. And that's how they're getting injured and how they can't hear each other.
It could be something like Black Alice where he can absorb powers of people near him.
That's a possibility. But I have to say, I'm pleasantly surprised at the overall storyline. I thought when the last creative team left, I was half considered dropping the title. But I have to say, overall, I kind of like what they're doing. I kind of like what Winnick is doing with the storyline. It's been very interesting. And of course, because Winnick is also doing Generation Lost, it allowed him to bring her into the storyline very easily. And now apparently they're decided they're moving on that.
Well, is Generation Lost almost over, though?
Yeah.
So yeah.
There's only like three issues left.
Yeah. So I can understand at that point.
And you want to move on.
That you need to get it done with.
Right. And I think it comes out every other week. So,
it does. Yeah. Yes.
Knight and Squire number 6 of 6 by Cornell and Broxton. Really sorry to see this miniseries go, but from what I understand, it had absolutely terrible sales. Did not do well at all. When it first came out, I was really hoping, it'll do well and maybe they'll make it a regular series. So Joker still has Jarvis Poker, the British Joker, because of this rhyming slang thing, hostage. And Joker is off killing British heroes. So Knight rallies the rest of the heroes and also the villains. They show up. They're like, we don't like this either, that this guy from America is coming over and killing heroes. That's kind of our job. So he manages to get this message to Jarvis, who then in turn tricks Joker into going to the pub, which is where we saw in the first couple issues, is where all the heroes hang out.
Well, and villains.
And villains, right. And villains,
people.
Right. And Jarvis tells Joker, well, that's where, you know, the magic is.
If you want it, you better go there.
Right. And at the end, Jarvis runs ahead of Joker into the pub, and Joker shoots him. So in the end, Jarvis feels that he's on the side of the angels in the end, because he's already dying of cancer or whatever he was dying of. So Joker finds the group of heroes and villains inside, and he's like, okay, now I'm going to take you all out. But his weapons don't work, of course, because of the magic truce that's in the pub. So nobody can attack anybody with any weapon in the pub. In fact, they can't even hit each other.
So in the end, they bundle him up and send him back to Gotham.
Right.
Wouldn't he be subject to some kind of criminal punishment in Britain?
My guess is the British justice system doesn't want anything to do with him. That's be my guess. I know if it was my call, I'd be like, oh, yeah, we extradited him. Oh, darn the luck. We couldn't do anything.
Right. Now, when last we talked about this comic, you were very disappointed that they had brought in the American Joker. What do you think now?
I still think that was kind of strange at the end. I would have really preferred they just continued the whole thing of solely British stuff through the end. But it did work out, I thought. And of course, as all these issues have been, they're filled with all these British references. And at the end of each issue, there's been this kind of primer on what the terms mean. And in fact, the last couple issues, they've been going through all the heroes they've introduced and all the heroes and villains and how they refer to in British pop culture or history. I assume this is not the last we'll see of these characters. I'm sure you'll see them over maybe in Batman Incorporated or things like that.
They'll pop up here and there.
Right. Unwritten number 23 from Vertigo by Carrion Gross. Tom finds himself inside a whale with Baron Munchausen, Pinocchio, the Hibernian, Sinbad, and Jonah, all characters who at one point or another were inside a whale. And I was very much reminded of Fables at this point.
Yes.
Very, very, very fable-like. And they're all trapped inside the whale. And it's various points in the story, there's these flashbacks to the treatments his father gave him. This kind of forced literary education, part of it through a sensory deprivation tank. So there are stories he knows that he doesn't consciously know. So he apparently has been fed all of literature. I don't know.
Just
the important parts. And because of that, Tom realizes that the whale, the Leviathan, is just a symbol. and that it's a symbol of the collective unconsciousness of the readers. And so once he realizes that, he's able to escape. This is just a very good title. It's very strange. If you're at all into just classic literature or anything like that, or just kind of a meta concept like this, if you're not getting this series, why are you not getting it? The trades are out. In fact, Volume 3 just came out this week.
I'd have to say this is one that I would probably recommend getting as trades instead of single issues.
It would make it a lot easier to read.
It would make it a lot easier to read, and I think it would make the story a little bit more coherent for you.
Yeah.
Again, I understand that people need to buy the single issues for the comic to continue, and so we can do that. I'm not going to switch to trades.
But Vertigo in particular, they really don't make money off the floppies, off the monthly issues. They make their money off the trades. That's 90%, I think, of their profits come through the trades. And they write everything pretty much to that. So I'm starting to think that the next Vertigo title ongoing that comes in that we're like, oh, maybe we should get involved in that, I may wait and then wait for the first trade to come out.
What about the miniseries like, say, Cinderella? Would you wait for those or...?
Well, if anything, you're safer on a mini series because
yeah.
you know they're going to put the whole thing out.
Right.
I mean, the danger, of course, of waiting for the trades is that they'll never come out because nobody buys the monthly. But in Vertigo's case, that hardly ever happens. Virtually everything they put out, unless it's just a complete disaster, will come out in trades.
And then as long as the trades sell, they would continue
right.
putting out the monthly.
Exactly. All right, before we get out of here, I think it's time to play America's fastest scurrying new game show.
Guess who's on the cover of Entertainment Weekly? You ready, Mark?
I'm ready.
Okay, go.
Movie related?
No.
TV related?
Yes.
Is it one person on the cover?
Yes.
Okay, one person on the cover. Is this person the star of a show?
Yes.
Okay. Is it a man?
Yes.
Okay. Is this a current show?
Yes.
Yes. Is the current show on NBC?
No.
On CBS?
No.
On ABC?
Yes.
On ABC. Star of a show, and it's a comedy?
No.
It's more of a drama?
Yes.
Is it procedural?
Yes.
Yes, it's procedural. Okay, let's see. There's not a lot of procedural on ABC.
But that's why it's a kind of yes.
Yes, so it's not Nathan Fillion, is it?
It is.
Oh, geez.
Oh, that got me so excited. Sorry, you know I love being my Nathan.
I knew it had to be something that was near and dear to you, so I'm like, what would that be?
And, you know, although he's on Castle now, they're talking about him as a geek lord. And, you know, that goes back to his stint on Firefly and Dr. Horrible.
And the recent thing with wanting to buy the series, the Firefly series, if he won the lottery and all
right.
the things that came out of that. And
they really go back and talk even about his first job on One Life to Live.
Oh, okay.
Because that's tying into this week's episode of Castle.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So.
All right. Well, want you to remind you about that darn contest. And we have a winner this week.
Yes, our winner this week is Billy Hogan.
And he wins the Green Lantern Corps number 48 variant cover.
So, Billy, if you would email your address to sfpodcastnetwork.com. We are holding on to most of the prizes until we award three or four more so that I can save on shipping charges.
And again, that's sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com. Did I say it wrong? You said sfpodcastnetwork.com.
Sorry.
Well, you figure it out. You want to go to sfpodcastnetwork.com to get the feed, other SF podcasts and blogs, and you could subscribe via iTunes, and please leave us a review.
And as we just said, you can email us at sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com. You can like us on Facebook.com/SFPPN, follow us on Twitter at SFPPN, or call us at 614-321-9737. That's 614-321-9SFP.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Bye.
Bye-bye.